Hello, I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ, having victory over internet pornography, and my name is Jim. Amen. Let's take a moment and pray. Come, Holy Spirit, descend on us and help us to open our minds and our hearts to you and to the tremendous blessings that you pour forth on us. Help us to have those revealed to us as we reflect on that this evening. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So Jeff is handing out pens. This one, you will need a pen, so grab one when they come along. I'll tell you when we get to that part, so nothing yet. So first, if you're new, this is Celebrate Recovery, as everyone said, the best place to be on a Thursday night. So what we do is we do a week of teaching, a week of testimony, a week of teaching. So the last teaching was 2 weeks ago, and that was Daniel, and he taught on relapse. That was lesson number 21. Today we're going to talk about gratitude, lesson number 22. So first let's look at the principle. This is principle 7, so read with me. Reserve a daily time with God for self-examination, Bible reading, and prayer in order to know God and his will for my life, and to gain the power to follow his will. Then we'll also look at step 11. We sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And together, let the message of Christ dwell in you richly, Colossians 3:16. Okay. I'm going to set this aside. So kind of going through the steps, our first step was really to admit that we were powerless, or we are powerless. And for many of us, that's what got us through the door. When we finally got to that point of trying to do it on our own and thinking, well, if I just try hard enough, if I pray and ask God to just take it away, maybe that will do it. But, you know, I've got my part in it, and so I think I can do it, you know. And so you confess, you try it on your own and realize, you know, it just keeps overcoming me. I need something more than me, and that I'm powerless over my hurts, my habits, and my hang-ups, and that I need help. The second step led us to choose once and for all a power to which we can live. And that third step and most important step, we choose to turn our lives and wills over to Jesus Christ. We begin to live out the decision that we made in principle number 3, which says, consciously choose to commit all of my life and will to Christ's care and control. I know for me, one of the mistakes was there's that important word in there, all my life. Well, I had things compartmentalized. Well, that doesn't work. God looks at all of us. And so I was like, well, this part, that's yours, God, and this part's yours. But this one, I'm going to hang on to for myself. Well, that just was trouble. So this one is, you know, all of my life and my will. Help me to want this, to will it. With that, we get a chance to walk in peace, to maintain our inventories and reconcile as needed, and to continue to deepen in our relationship with Christ. The way we do it is to reserve a daily time with God. During this time, we focus on him by praying and meditating, which was step 11. So praying to God, the person of God. So a lot of people struggle with this if they don't have experience in prayer. And so what I often share from my own experience is God is a person. Jesus was a person. So how would I talk to a friend? How would I talk to someone that I know cares deeply about me? And a big part of that is I would share, this is what's going on in my life. These are the things I struggle with. These are the things that I'm mad about. These are the things that I'm hurt about. These are the things I don't have answers for. And so just as you would confide in a friend, that is, you know, prayer with God, starting down that path. So then, what is meditation? Well, that's listening to God, focusing on God and God's word, and sometimes maybe just one or two things. Well, the challenge with that is my mind can wander. I can be distracted. I can suddenly start thinking of a grocery shopping list. I can think of a lot of other things that, oh yeah, I was going to do this. Oh, I meant to do this. And it takes me away from that moment of just trying to sit with God. So how do we listen to God? Well, there's a number of ways. One is, for me, is to slow down and sit still for a minute. I know when there's things I don't want to feel, getting busy is a great way not to feel. It can be doing chores. It can be exercising. It can be watching a show. It can be doing Sudoku. Just something to occupy my mind so I don't have to be alone in my thoughts. But yeah, that's where God will often come in and can work. So being quiet, breathing and feeling my body to relax so that I can be open to hearing what God has. The next thing is the Bible and scripture passages, finding those passages that really speak to your heart. And for some people, it's committing them to memory so that when I'm in a situation where I'm feeling alone or abandoned, I think of a passage that goes with that and God's promise that I'm not alone and that I'm not abandoned. As an example, it could be a sermon that you've heard at a church service on Sunday or on a Wednesday or at Celebrate Recovery on a Thursday night. It could be in the CR principles and scriptures that we looked at. It can be in music that elevates us into a relationship with God, stuff that sings God's praises that we can join in, things where we can silently hear the words of scripture in a song kind of flow over and through us. And then the other one that I know works for me is there are times when I can put my mind in idle and then God can speak in that. So I'll give you some examples. I cycle 3 days a week to and from work. That's 45 minutes of uninterrupted time that I don't really actually have to think. I do watch. I'm like a cat in a dog park, making sure I don't get hit. Right? So that's my goal on a bike is to be seen and not do anything that would get me hurt. But it's such a familiar path that it gives me time just for my mind to be quiet. And then I hear things from maybe the Sunday gospel, maybe interactions I've had, time I've had with a sponsor or an accountability partner. Those are all things where those things percolate up and now I can turn them over in my mind and God can reveal things in that. It might be doing laundry, folding laundry. If I choose not to do that while watching a ball game, well then it's just repetition, right? And so again, it's one of those things. Used to be mowing the lawn. Had 3/4 of an acre and riding on a riding lawnmower. It's very repetitive. Another good time. Growing up, I did farm work, working 100-acre field with a disc or a harrow. You got a lot of time with nothing but the sound of an engine. So I prayed a lot during that. I had people in my mind that I would be praying for. Scripture passages would come up. Later, when you could get radio in a tractor, I would listen to a Christian radio and the preachers and the scholars there. So all these are ways that we can quiet ourselves down and allow God to speak into our lives. And it can be in a good friend or loved one praying with us that God can speak. When I'm able to start my day with prayer and end it by doing a daily inventory, I have a pretty good day, a reasonably happy day. This is one way I choose to live one day at a time, and one way I can prevent relapse. Another way is to have gratitude. So that's what this lesson is this week. And we'll look to have our prayers focused on your gratitude in four areas of your life and in my life. And those four areas are gratitude towards God, to other people, to your own recovery, and to your church. So now, the pieces of paper and the pens, this is where that comes in handy. So we're going to start by building a gratitude list. So the first one, what are you thankful to God for? In Philippians 4, verse 6, we're told, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." Psalm 107, verse 15, encourages us to give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and wondrous deeds for mankind. What are at least two areas of your life in which you see God's work and that you are thankful for during this time of year? I'll give you a few minutes to write. Actually, I found this one hard to not bleed into the next two, which is others and my recovery. So we'll go to that next one, the one that's easy for me to go to, because I believe God works in bringing people into my life. So the next area that we're going to look at is individuals for whom God put in your life on your road to recovery. In Colossians 3, verses 15 to 16, "Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other, in step with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing. And cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house." So who are you thankful for and why? Okay, before we go to the third, I'll just share a little bit for me. So things that I'm thankful to God for. One is I love creation. And so when I am out in nature, I really see the fingerprints of God. Whether it's the ocean and the vastness of the ocean, whether it's looking up at the stars and the way I can't even count all the stars nor see all the stars, whether it's just the smells of walking through the woods, or even in the city, when a fresh rain hits, just that sound and the release of wonderful smells. That's just one of the ways that I'm thankful to God. When it comes to individuals, there's a gamut. One of them is I'm a grandpa of five. So everyone, I mean, I love being a grandpa. I loved being a dad, but being a grandpa kind of is like on steroids of goodness. Five grandsons and then one granddaughter. And it's such a joy. So that's one. I have a coworker too, who's just such a man of prayer that I'm encouraged by and encouraged with daily. So he's another one that I know I can go and actually in the office get a hug and get prayer. So that's a person, an individual. All right, number three, an area to be thankful for is our recovery. In Hebrews 12, verse 1, "As for us, we have this large crowd of witnesses around us. So then, let us rid ourselves of everything that gets in the way and of the sin which holds to us so tightly, and let us run with determination the race that lies before us." Again, that's Hebrews 12, verse 1. So what are two recent growth areas of your recovery which you are thankful for? When I think of my own recovery within Celebrate Recovery, there's actually three things that just come top of mind for me. One of them is accountability partners. It's so nice to have somebody who's walked the path with you that I can say, hey, I've got something coming up that's going to be stressful, and I want to check in with you twice a day. You know, and this, I want you to be praying for me twice a day, right? So that accountability is just so meaningful and helpful, and I know that they love and care about me. The next thing is my sponsor. Right, that I can go and have coffee with and we can really connect, and he knows me deeply. I've confessed the worst of the worst, right? So, and received forgiveness and God's grace and mercy through that. So that's the second. And then the third is I do sponsor other guys, and I get so much back in that. God really works through their lives and touches me. So that's what I think of when the three for recovery. And then the fourth and final area that to take a look at tonight is your church. Enter the temple gates with thanksgiving, Psalm 100, verse 4. So what are two things for which you're thankful for regarding your church? So for me, when I think of church, there's two things that come to mind. The first is just the fellowship. People I know and care about are there, and that know and care about me and love me. That's one, the fellowship. The second is I sing in a choir, and it's a soprano, alto, tenor, bass, and I'm a bass. So it's nice to sing in my natural range and not with the sopranos. That's usually where the melody is. So it's pretty good. And also I love how it's a beautiful vision of the church where we all have our own gifts, our own musical range, and mine's here. And there are those who are here, and together when you blend them, it's beautiful. Right, and we need each other. It balances and creates something better than just my own voice. And it's a way to praise God with gifts and talents. So those are two for me. So what to do is take your gratitude list home with you, and put it someplace where you're going to see it. That might be where you brush your teeth. It might be your bedstand. It might be kitchen counter on the refrigerator, whatever that might be. Put it someplace that you will see it. It'll remind you that you've made progress in your recovery, that you're not alone, and that Jesus Christ is always with you. Using your gratitude list, going to recovery meetings, and making them a priority, and getting involved in service in your church are the best ways I know to prevent relapse. Now, one area I'm going to return to that I didn't go into depth on the first pass was daily inventory. So that's one that we've talked about in a previous lesson, but it really comes home here. And that is just a review at the end of the day. How was my day? What are things that I might have said or not said, things I might have done? And I know for myself, and the ideal is the closer to the incident, the better. So if I know I just said something that was a little bit harsh or critical, and I recognize it in the moment, take a deep breath and address it with that individual. That's the best. Actually, the best is not to do it. But when we do make a mistake and we do cause harm, to make amends in the time, in the way that person needs it. But if you're at the end of your day, so maybe it's somebody cut me off in traffic and I had a mean thing or a mean thought or a mean gesture, I'm not going to necessarily the next day be able to find them and go make amends. So, you know, I'll pray for them. But there's a lot of people in our lives. It can be coworkers. It can be family members. It can be friends. It can be somebody in your church community. It can be a sibling. As we become older adults, you know, there's just sometimes things that are really challenging with brothers, sisters, cousins, parents. And there's plenty of opportunity to reflect on that and then come back and make amends. What it does is a couple of things. One is it keeps us from being bound up by that. Holding on to the fact that sometimes, you know, I'll, in my head, have justified it. I've got this resentment. This is why I did what I did. But then when I take time to really reflect and pray on it, it's like, yeah, that was very much a defensive thing, and it wasn't right that I did that. And sometimes not speaking up when someone is crossing a boundary with me, I might hold a resentment about that, and then I might feel entitled to strike back. Instead of saying, oh no, I need to hold a boundary here, you're talking to me in a way that, you know, doesn't work for me, because you're judging my intention. I can tell you what my intention is, right? That's happened to me in relationships. So that daily inventory is a good chance to come back and reflect on your day and then go and make amends where you can. And what that does do is it gets us very mindful of our words and our actions and our thoughts, and so that we can be more proactive about it and allow God into that, so that we can shine a better light in the day as we go through, that we can help people feel loved and cared for, that we can receive love and care from others. So that's the key for the daily inventory and the amends. For me, it also helps me acknowledge my own humanity and the mistakes I make so that I'm not as defensive. It's like, yeah, I know I do that, and I know I need to stop doing that. And so I'm more apt to make amends than letting it sit and fester for a while. Okay, so you'll be taking those home. Let's close in prayer. Loving God, thank you for our time together this evening, the wonderful talents and able to give you praise and worship, to be nourished in food and song and prayer and fellowship. We thank you for your amazing grace, your unconditional love for each and every one of us, and the people in our lives, and the people we encounter. Help us as we go through our week this week to experience your love and to live fully into the grace that you have for us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.